Welcome to this week's podcast teaching from our study in Acts. We are in session 6. My name is Trish Dietz, and as always, it is such a privilege to share this time with you. Well, yesterday, I met a lady outside the grocery store who was weeping. I mean, she was just a puddle of tears. So I asked her if she was okay, and she shared that she had just lost $200 somewhere in the parking lot, and she couldn't find it. So I gave her $40 from the $200 I had just found, because after all, when God blesses you, you should bless others, right? Did you all gasp and say, "Trish, no!" Well, you'll be happy to know this is not a first-person account of an incident in which I played a part. In fact, it was just a little illustration I read recently that I think brings a modern-day application to what we've studied this week in Acts. This fictitious story and the true account of Ananias and Sapphira both show a glimpse of how deceitful a heart can be, wanting to appear generous, but corrupt at its core. This week's lesson focused on integrity. In fact, the title of Session 6 Studies is Integrity. That's the opposite of deceitful. A secular definition of integrity is honest, with sound moral and ethical principles, whole, undivided. Well, a biblical definition of integrity is the condition of being without blemish, completeness, perfection, sincerity, soundness, uprightness, wholeness, and then honesty and steady devotion to a pattern of good works. It implies and demands, really, consistency in your behavior. You're not going to act one way in one situation and another way in a different situation. R. Kent Hughes says it this way: integrity characterizes the entire person, not just part of him. He's righteous and honest through and through. He's not only that in the inside, but also in outer action. Well, Jesus is the perfect example of a man of integrity, fully God and fully man. Though he was tempted in every way like we are, yet he was without sin. He's the only one who was ever perfectly blameless, pure in motives, always completely truthful, without spot or blemish, always fully devoted to honoring the Father and steady devotion to fulfill the plan laid out before him, no matter the cost. We who bear his name are called to be like Jesus. In Christ, ladies, we are new creations, freed, forgiven, and we stand blameless before God. In Christ, we also have the conviction, the help, the power of the Holy Spirit at work in us to enable us to live a life of integrity, to follow the example of Christ. We can only live with true integrity by his power, which he graciously and freely gives to all who are his. I love the words of David from Psalm 101:2. And David says, "I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home." David knows he has to do his part to be intentional, to be blameless in his thoughts and actions. He knows he needs help from the Lord to live this way. He knows a life of integrity begins in his own home. A person with integrity demonstrates sound, moral, and ethical principles and does the right thing no matter who's watching. They're virtuous. It's been said that image is who people think we are, and integrity is who we really are. And I might add to that quote, and only God really knows who we are. One with integrity is trustworthy, dependable. You can count on them to behave honorably no matter who is watching. David Jeremiah says integrity is keeping a commitment even after the circumstances have changed. Well, from the text this week, I saw two areas in having integrity that I thought the passage brought out. First, how we live, and second, how we give. Starting with how we live, Acts 4, 32 and 33, we live in unity. Verse 32 says, all the believers were united in heart and mind. Ladies, when you keep the main thing, there's unity. Well, what's the main thing as a Christian? That Jesus' name is lifted high to fulfill the great commission to share the good news of the gospel, that God is glorified in all and through all. Then we live compassionately. Verse 32b, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything they had. This church, this early church, these baby Christians, they cared for, thought of, watched out for each other, even above their own needs. They rightly knew that every good and perfect gift was by grace from God's hand, so they held loosely to temporal things. They knew they were stronger together, and they desperately needed each other. And then thirdly, how do we live a life of integrity in the church from this text? Powerfully. That's the fruitful result. Verse 33, the apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's great blessing was upon them all. In unity and with compassion, their witnesses spoke volume to a lost and dying world. Remember, this wasn't an easy time to live. They were under the threat of severe persecution. But those powers of darkness had no hold on them. The power of God and the Holy Spirit was greater than all that came against them, giving them boldness and leading to blessings. They lived powerfully for the glory of God. The second way from our passages to show integrity is how we give. Give sacrificially and give honestly. First, sacrificially. Chapter 4, verses 34 and 37. There were no needy people among them because those who owned land or houses would sell them, and they'd bring the money to the apostles' feet to give to those in need. Because the church knew that God was the source of all blessings and He would care for them, they gladly shared and gave sacrificially. Freely they had received, so freely they would give. This was a unique time in the infancy of the church, and they came together in full awareness of how they needed each other. And the second way to give? Honestly. In the last part of verse 35 and the first 11 verses of chapter 5, there's two examples of believers giving. The first is Barnabas. He's referred to as the son of encouragement. He gave honestly, genuinely, without reservation or regret. The record is that he sold a field he owned and he just brought the money to the apostles' feet. And the second couple, Ananias, who with his wife Sapphira brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount, and that's the key. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. They gave deceptively. Ladies, the problem was never in the amount they gave. This couple could have kept it all. The problem is they decided to lie. And Peter called out the deception. He says the property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do a thing like this? You weren't lying to us, but to God. And God judged the lie immediately. They both fell dead. The issue wasn't then, nor will it be today, a matter of how much we give to the work of the ministry. It's always a matter of the heart in how and why we give. God loves a cheerful giver. Well, the application for this week's study, I hope integrity in our world still implies moral incorruptibility. Though the line of right and wrong for others may be increasingly blurred, I pray it's not so for the church. Christians should be those who cannot be compromised because we serve God rather than men. Living with integrity in a world where deception and corruption is all over, not to mention our battle with our own sin nature, is challenging. But we have God's help to overcome and do the right thing. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, "The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience, and God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, He will show you a way out so you can endure." A few thoughts I'd have in living a life of integrity today as a Christian, for us as women: be one who meditates on and obeys the Word of God. Display the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Love others as God does. Romans 12, 9 and 10 says, "Don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what's wrong. Hold tightly to what's good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other." Not only should we be a woman in the Word, but we need to be a woman of her Word. Reliable, consistent, dependable, without grumbling or complaining, especially when it's hard. As biblical definitions of integrity describe honesty, steadfast devotion to a pattern of good works, look for ways to bless others. And don't feel the need to boast or post about it. God sees. Speak well of others. You know what your mama taught you? If you've got nothing nice to say, what, ladies? Don't say anything at all. That's right. Be honest and generous with your time, your gifts, your talents. Ask to be free from the love of money or man's praise. Don't live a life of duplicity. Honor Jesus in your witness in every setting, starting at home. Be pure in what you do, see, and say. Be respectful, even in matters of disagreement. Whether you are a student, a mama at home, or you're fully employed in the workplace, be honest. Stand and live modeling virtuous, undivided, biblical principles. Remain steadfast and faithful in relationships that honor God, and in your growth in ministry. Though there are areas that we all fall short in, we sin, we're convicted of, ask the Lord for forgiveness and help. The early church in Acts was on fire. They were filled with the Holy Spirit and growing. But as we see this week, they had areas of weakness and gross sin. The death of Ananias and Sapphira reminds us and sternly warns us that God's a holy God, and a pattern of lying to God will be dealt with. We can sometimes fool man, but we can never fool God. Yes, God is patient with us and slow to anger, but as R.C. Sproul says, we forget God's patience is designed to lead us to repentance, not to become bolder in our sin. The fear of God in judgment of sin in Acts didn't seem to drive the observers away. In fact, from chapter 5, verse 11, great fear gripped the entire church and everyone else who heard what happened. And then verse 14 of that same chapter, yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord, crowds of both men and women. In closing, ladies, we live in a period of amazing grace, and I pray that grace continues to bring us to a place of reverential awe of God with a holy fear as we seek to live a life of integrity for Jesus. God bless you, ladies.